Says the Gemara, this is easy Gemara, so we like to try and move ahead quickly. Says the Gemara, on Daf Nun, Omed base, towards the bottom. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Shochach, Vehichnis Oichalin Letoich Piv, Beloi Bracha. What happens if you forgot and you accidentally put food in your mouth without making a bracha? You suddenly realize there you are in the middle of eating and you've got food in your mouth and you have not made a bracha. So what do? So the Gemara says, Mesalkon letzad echod. Just move the food to one side of your mouth. Do not spit it out. Do not swallow it, but rather simply move it to the other side of your mouth and then you can make a bracha. Mesalkon letzad echod, move it to one side, umavarech, and then you make a bracha. Now, Tanya, we have a bit of a stira in the braces. Why? Tanya chodo, we've learned in one braisa, boil on, you should swallow them. The Tanya idach, and we have yet another braisa that says, poilton, that you should spit it out. The Tanya Idach, and we have yet a third braisa that says, Masalkon, just move it over to the side of your mouth. So we have three different braisas telling us three different things. In all three, we're talking about where you put food in your mouth and you haven't made a bracha. What do? One braisa says, spit it out. One says, swallow it. And one says, move it to the side of your mouth and then make a bracha. So what's going on? How can we possibly reconcile these braisas? So the Gemara says, no, there's a teretz. What's the teretz? Loi kasha. Hod the Tanya boilon. That which it says that you swallow it, that's talking about the mashkin. If it's mashkin liquids, so obviously if you take it out of your mouth, they'll become ruined. You can't then put them back into your mouth. So you've got no choice. You have to swallow it. V'hod the Tanya poilton, and that which it says, spit it out, take it out of your mouth before you make a bracha, and then you put it back in your mouth. That's talking about b'midi deloy mimis, something that if you take out your mouth, it will not get spoiled. It won't be ruined. V'hod the Tanya mesalkon, and that which you says in the braisa, you move over to the other side of your mouth, then that's talking about b'midi de mimis. B'midi de mimis, it will get ruined. Now, mashkin is obviously the worst of the lot, because not only can I obviously not spit it out, but once I spit it out, it's going to be lost forever, but I can't move mashkin to one side of my mouth and then make a bracha. Obviously, it will just pour out. So I don't have that option. So I've got no other option but to swallow it. Whereas all other foods, I do have the choice. So it depends. If I can spit it out and it will not get spoiled, right? Imagine, for example, you just took a nut and you put it in your mouth and you haven't even taken the first bite and you suddenly remember that you haven't made a bracha or a candy or whatever, something like that. So then you can take it out of your mouth and then make a bracha and put it back. But if you've started chewing the food, so you're hardly likely now to take it out and put it back into your mouth, so you move it over to one side of your mouth, if you can do that, and then you make a bracha. Says Rashi, look at Rashi. Boil on, in the case of liquids, you swallow them below bracha. In some cases, poilton, umavarech, you make a bracha after you've spit them out, v'chayzav ha'eichlon, and then you can put them back into your mouth and you can eat them again. So if it's mashkin, boilon, then you swallow it. You put the water in your mouth and you suddenly realize you haven't made a bracha. So then you just swallow it. Why? You obviously can't move it over to one side of your mouth to then make a bracha. Neither can I spit it out. Why? Because then you're going to ruin the food. So l'chayre is a big chiddush over here. What's the big chiddush? You've just put water in your mouth and you suddenly realize you haven't made a bracha. So what does the Gemara say? Well, I can't move it to one side of my mouth and I can't spit it out because it'll be lost forever. So what do? I swallow it. So l'chayre, that's a very big chiddush. Why is that a big chiddush? Because in theory, we could have put in a good argument to say, one second, how on earth can he drink this water without a bracha? So what are you going to say? Well, but he's got no other options, because if he spits it out, then he won't be able to put it back in. Okay, so it's bad luck. And malasot. What hetter does he have to swallow this water without making a bracha? It's also to have food without a bracha. So it would seem to be that the answer must be that, yes, you're right. It's also to eat and drink water or food without a bracha, but it's also an issa to be mafsid oichlin. And I think that's why this Gemara is over here, because it really is a continuation of the previous sugya. There's an issa to be mafsid oichlin. So really what I'm doing over here is I'm weighing up between two isurim. On the one hand, if I swallow it, then I'm eating without a bracha. On the other hand, if I spit it out, I'm being mafsid oichlin. So either way, I'm being over an issa. Either I'm ruining food or I'm eating food below bracha. So apparently the Gemara is being mechadesh. It's better to swallow the food below bracha than to be mafsid it. But at least we can understand the chiddush. It's still a chiddush. But at least we can understand it. We can't simply say, sorry, there's no heter to swallow the water without a bracha, and therefore just spit out the water. And if it gets ruined, it's just a shame. No, it's not just a shame. It's an issa. Mafsadeich. Says Rashi, the last Rashi on the Amud. What does it mean, poilton? In which case are you piloted? B'midi deloy mimis. Something that did not get spoiled, b'mer shenosnu n'piv, that which you put it in your mouth has not spoiled it. V'yochol lachzor v'lo'ichlo, and you can always put it back into your mouth and eat it. Fine. So we have no steerer. Rabbi said, this is mamash halacha l'maisa, maybe we'll see it in Shulchan Aruch, but this is very, very important halacha. You put food in your mouth, if you can take it out, then make a bracha and put it back in. That's the best. If you can't, push it over to one side of your mouth. And if you can't do that either, then you swallow it. Now, the obvious question that could be asked is, why do you ever have to take the food out your mouth? We said that if it's food that will not become spoiled, if you take it out, then you should spit it out and then put it back. Why? Why can't I just move that over to one side of my mouth? Why is it better to take it out of my mouth? So this is the Gemara's kasha now, the top line of the Omnes. B'midi deloy mimis nami, even on something which will not get spoiled, why do I have to spit it out? L'salkinu l'tzalechod. Let me just move it over to one side of my mouth, v'livrich, and then I'll make a bracha. Says Rashi, the top Rashi on the Amud, B'midi d'loy mimis nami lomo li l'poilton. Why do I need to spew it out? Comma, surely l'salkinu l'tzad echod. Let me just move it over to one side. If I move over to one side of my mouth, I can make the bracha. What on earth do I gain by spitting it out? Says the Gemara, I do gain. Why? Tirgmar of Yitzcha Kaskasol, Kamed Rav Yosi ben Ovin, Mishmed Rav Yechanan, Mishum Shenema, Yemale, Pihi Tehil Secho. Literally translated, you should fill your mouth with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praise. In other words, it's not lechatchila. It's not lechatchila to make a bracha with your mouth half full. So the question was, why do I have to spit it out? Why can't I just move it over to one side of my mouth? The answer is because then your mouth is not full of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praise. Rather, it's full of food. So it's not always possible. With mashkin, it's never possible. And even with oichlin, so like the Gemara says, it makes a difference. Will it become spoiled or it won't become spoiled? If it will not become spoiled, then yes, it's the best to take it out of your mouth, and then your entire mouth can be dedicated to making this broth.
Is there anything to be said for that you can't pronounce the bracha properly if I have food in my mouth?
Yeah, it depends.
So even if it's, you can't have food in your mouth and say a bracha,
So it depends, yeah. If you've just put a little nut in your eye, I put a boiling hot potato, the size of a football, yeah, then you're right, it'd be very hard to say a bracha. Enochanami. Yeah, says the more. By the way, I have to apologize in advance. I have an appointment this morning, so I'm going to have to finish here early, in about 10 minutes or quarter of an hour or so. Now, says the Gemara, this is a little bit of a tricky Gemara. It's not hard, it's not complicated, just a little bit tricky because it's based on different girsois that we have in Rashi. So everybody should have their finger on the Rashi and let me know what it says in your girsa because it's a bit of a balagan. Says the Gemara, Ba'u, I'm on the fourth line. Ba'u minei mirav chista. They ask the following question now to Rav Chista. Mi she'ochal v'shasa. Until now, we've been talking about somebody who put food in their mouth. And the question was, they haven't yet swallowed the food. And the shiloh of the Gemara is, can they make a bracha? Now, the Gemara is asking a different shiloh. Bo'u minei mirav chista. Misha ochal v'shaso, I've already eaten it. Not like the previous case where I put it in my mouth and I haven't yet eaten it. I've already eaten it or drunk it. V'loi birech, and I did not make a bracha. Mahu, what's the din sheyachzei v'yavarech with regard to now going making a bracha? Now, what exactly is the Gemara's Shaila? There are two ways that you can understand the Gemara's Shaila. Does the Gemara literally mean that I'll make my bracha rishona after having eaten? Is that what the Gemara means? That's definitely what it sounds like. I finished eating my apple. I haven't eaten, haven't made a bracha. So the Gemara is saying, is it too late to make a bracha b'dieved after the eating? Is that what the Gemara means to ask? Look at Rashi. The Rashi is over here, slightly out of order. So it's on the fourth and last wide line of Rashi. Yeah. Says Rashi, Mahu sheyachzor. Now look at the words of Rashi that we have. La'achar achil v'shtia. So Rashi seems to be learning. We'll see in a moment. There's an amendment. But if you learn like this girsa in Rashi, it sounds like what's the shaila of the Gemara? Rashi says, "La'achar achila v'shtia." I finished eating. The food is gone. I've got no food left over here. I finished eating my apple. I forgot to make a bracha. Can I make a bracha now? According to Rashi, it sounds like that's the shaila of the Gemara. Is it too late to make a bracha after the event? However, you'll see in your Rashi, at least in my Girsa, there's a little base. Yes. You have the same in yours? And that base sends you in the left-hand side margin in my Gemara to the Hakoyes of the Vilna Goyen. Hakoyes HaKro. And if you look in the letter base, what does he say?
Yemt.
Mahu sheyachzer be'emtza achile v'shtia. Be'emtza achile v'shtia. What does that mean? I've started eating my apple and I've eaten half, but I have not yet finished eating. I'm still be'emtza, I'm still in the middle. Can I make a bracha on the remaining part of the apple? Now, this is a little bit difficult to understand because what's the shayla b'chlal? What exactly is a sofik? What, you should carry on eating below bracha? Look at the Gemara's answer. Maybe that indeed that's the Gemara's answer. The Gemara again says, "Mi she'ochal v'shasa v'lo birich." If he's eaten and drunk, according to Rashi, according to the amended version, it means I've eaten some of the foods, v'lo birich. Mahu sheyachsev rivarech. Do I go and make a bracha on the remaining part of the food? Omaluhu. What did he answer? Mi she'ochal shum v'reichoi noidev. Yachzer v'yoichal shum acher k'dei shiyehei reichoi noidev? Question mark, exclamation mark. What's shum? Shum is garlic. Imagine you put garlic in your mouth accidentally, so you've got an awful taste and smell in your mouth. Tater, it was a mistake. So what are you going to do now? You're going to eat more shum? No. If I've made a mistake once, there's no reason why I should go ahead and make the mistake again and then have even a worse taste in my mouth. So too says the Gemara, I don't understand the shayla. You've had half the apple without making a bracha. So what exactly is the shayla? Can I now eat the second half without a bracha? Bad enough that you made the mistake first time round because you made mistake number one. That somehow I had to now to go make mistake number two. Now, do you agree to me, Rabbi Isai, that even though the Gemara is a little bit of a chiddush because it seems to be so obvious, it's not exactly clear what's mischadish, but do we now understand, Rabbi Isai, the Haggadah of the Vilna Goyen be'emtza? The Rashi that we have said that what was the shayla of the Gemara? Can you make a bracha after the eating? The Vilna Goyen changed. Can you make a bracha in the middle of the eating when you're still planning on eating? Do you all agree to me now that having learned the end of the Gemara, you see that the Vilna Goyen must be correct? Why? Because if the shayla of the Gemara was the way we have the girsa in Rashi, can you make the bracha after having finished eating the food? Then I'm sorry to tell you, the Gemara's answer makes no sense. What's the Gemara's answer? Oh, if you've made mistake number one, I should go ahead and make mistake number two? Which mistake number two are you talking about? I'm simply asking a very fair, innocent question. Are you allowed to make a bracha rishona after the event? So it makes no sense to now yell me down and say, oh, you ate garlic once, what are you going to do? Be silly enough to eat it again? What do you mean again? I didn't make a bracha. I'd like to make a bracha now. But according to the Vilna Goyen, I think we can understand. Because according to the Vilna Goyen, what was the shayla of the Gemara? Not can I make a bracha after the event on that which I have eaten? Rather, having eaten half the apple, do I make a bracha on the remaining part of the apple? Ah, if that's the shayla of the Gemara, then I understand the Gemara's very sharp answer. What do you think, says the Gemara? What, I don't make a bracha on the remaining part of the apple? Just because I made a mistake on the first time round, that gives you a right to make a mistake second time round? That fits very well with the Vilna Goyen's nusach.
Why can't Rashi just be saying after we ate that bite? Why does it have to be he's done eating bichlal? The Gemara just discussed the case of where I'm going to spit it out or not. So this is the next logical step that I just finished that bite.
That's what the Vilna Gaon is saying. That's what the Vilna Gaon is amending the words of Rashi. And exactly what you just said is what the Vilna Gaon said.
But why can't we read Darshan Rashi for that?
That's exactly what the Vilna Gaon is doing. The Vilna Gaon is not arguing with Rashi. He's explaining that's what Rashi is supposed to be intended. Rashi is la'acha achila v'shtia means you're still in the middle of eating. Not you've come to the end of the meal. And the Vilna Gaon is not arguing with Rashi over here. So the problem is that in Ochami, if it really is in the middle of eating, the whole question and answer of the Gemara seems to be superfluous. I mean, what indeed was the question then? I've eaten half my apple without a bracha, so can I eat the second half without a bracha? I mean, what type of question is that? The Gemara's answer seems so obvious. Because you ate garlic once, you're going to eat garlic again. You made a mistake once, you're going to make a mistake again. Look at Rashi. Go to the third wide line. I told you these Rashi's are slightly out of order. Misha ochal v'shasa v'loi bireich lifneihem. He didn't make the first bracha, koi, that's what we're referring to, a birkas hamoitzi or birkas hayayin, whether it's hamoitzi or yayin. Now go back a Rashi, top line, last word. Yachzer v'yeichal shum acher k'dei shiyasriach yoiser. He's eaten shum, he's eaten garlic once, and it's got a terrible smell. So what are you going to tell him? Ah, could I to eat more garlic so the smell should get even worse? Kloima Yosef al Sir Choino, is he going to make one mistake into an even worse mistake? The last remaining words of Rashi the Vilna Gaon takes out, so we will leave them. Says the Gemara in conclusion, Omar Avina. Now comes the big chiddush. Hilkoch, therefore, afilu gomar su'udaso yachsei v'yavarech. Says Ravina, I would now extend this chiddush that even indeed if you have finished the entire meal, you can make a bracha. Until now, we only discussed a case where you were in the middle of eating, so at least the bracha can take effect with regard to what you're going to eat from now on in. But says Ravina, no, I would say that it works retroactively as well. And that even if I finish my entire meal, I can make a bracha on that which I have already eaten. Do you know why? What's my proof? Tanya, because it says, Toval va'olo oimer ba'aliyosoi, if somebody toiveled in a mikveh. Then when he gets out, the olo ba'aliyosoi, when he comes up from the mikveh, what does he say? Baruch atah Hashem unakim melech ha'olam asher kitshon misayisov etzivonu ala tvila. So I see that what? That a bracha can be made after the event. Normally brachas are made prior to the event, birkas hamitzvahs, birkas hananin. But I see in the case of tvila that it can also be made after the event. So too, l'chayra, food would be the same, says the Gemara. No, I'm sorry, I disagree with the comparison. V'lo'ihi, it is simply not true. It's an unfair comparison. Why is it an unfair comparison? Over there, we're talking about a ger tzedek. And if he's a ger tzedek, well, obviously, before he's tabled in the mikveh, he's a goy. So he can't make a bracha. Hossam me'ikara, there from the outset, Gavra, the person that we're talking about, meaning this goy, who's becoming a convert, loy chazi. He's not in a fit state to make a bracha because he's not Jewish, but acha, me'ikara gavra chazi. But over here, this person who's eating or drinking was perfectly in fitting in making a bracha, and he didn't do so. Well, I'm sorry, you've missed your chance. Oil ve'itchi. Once it gets pushed off, that's it. It gets pushed off forever. There's no second bite at the cherry. So Bishloima, where you are in the middle of eating, so then it's not really considered a second bite of the cherry because the bracha that I'm making is exempting the food that I'm going to eat. So basically, this is a fulfillment of normal rules. I'm making a bracha prior to the event. But after the event, if I really have completely finished eating or drinking, there's no comparison to tefillah. Tefillah is a different story. You cannot possibly make a bracha before the tefillah because the guy is still a goy. Okay, you'll excuse me. I have to run out. I have an appointment at 9:30. I'm sorry, finishing a little bit early. In Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we will see the Zerashis, and there's also a top Tosfos, and then Be'ez Hashem will carry on in the Gemara.